1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. In and around Las Vegas and at the famous Burning Man Festival in the Nevada desert, there is a big holiday problem and a dangerous one.
The entire desert is probably 2 inches deep of water, and then below that, 3 inches of mud.
He has been at Burning Man from Britain just in time to catch days of rain that's closed the festival entrance, keeping some people in, others out. There has been one death reported, the cause unclear. There have been flash flood warnings in Las Vegas, too. It's also having a hard time absorbing all that rain that's come down almost all at once, and that is not over, says Chris Outler with the Weather Service.
There will be some more storms, especially across eastern Nevada. So we could see a little bit more flooding, but it's going to start trending downward. And as we get into Labor Day and the rest of the week, it looks like things will be dry.
A developing story, the crash of a small plane has set off a wildfire threatening some two dozen structures in Lacey Township. That is in New Jersey. For Pope Francis this Sunday, a most unusual location for a mass.
This is Chris Livesay in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. In the 2,000 years of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis is the first pope to ever visit here and the first to eat the customary dried yogurt. There are only about 5 people per square mile in Mongolia, and fewer than 1,500 people in the whole country are even Catholic. So of all the places in the world the pope could visit, why here? The short answer, Russia and China. Mongolia is sandwiched between them. Two countries Francis desperately wants to visit.
President Biden visited some of the hard-hit parts of North Florida after last week's hurricane. Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, was not there. Disappointing?
No, I'm not disappointed. He may have had other reasons, but he did help us plan this. He sat with FEMA and decided where we should go, where would be the least disruption.
Correspondent Bradley Blackburn.
Damage assessment and cleanup are ongoing as residents in multiple counties face what the storm left behind.
Everything else was total loss.
The aftermath stretches into Georgia, where the governor has also requested federal assistance.
A Wall Street Journal poll puts him in sixth place in the still crowded Republican presidential race, but ex-Vice President Mike Pence tells Fox News Sunday,
with regard to the polling, it's just not what I'm seeing on the ground. I spent the better part of last week in Iowa, be back in New Hampshire tomorrow. The encouragement that we're getting on the ground, frankly, our canvassers in Iowa have me running pretty consistently. Second.
Wall Street finished off the pre-holiday week slightly higher, although the NASDAQ was actually down a hair. The Dow was up 116. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
bright sunshine this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 99. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Lows around 69. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 97. Mid-90s Tuesday, turning much cooler Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 88.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and this is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, everybody, special episode of the Cripescast today. Dun, 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 because you asked for it. We are doing a Charlie Behrens Ask Me Anything by popular demand. What do? We did these. We did this one other time, right, Kelly?
Like episode 40, and now it's like episode 160 something or other.
Kelly Maraca, ladies and gentlemen, executive producer of the Cripescast. Yeah, so we've had a few requests for this over the year or whatever, and typically I don't want to do them because you know I'm guarded.
Stubborn,
something.
Guarded. Yeah.
But as it turns out, we had a guest cancel, so here we are.
No, the main reason is because your brother's podcast keeps getting pushed back, which people keep asking about as well.
It's getting pushed back.
They're very excited.
And we're not,
we're just building up anticipation.
It's been done. It's in the tank. But we'll explain the reason for the delay come the...
Maybe, if we want.
Maybe, yeah. But it's nothing bad. It's actually very good.
Yes, so that'll be coming soon. And but before we get into the questions...
Yes.
Let's talk about what's going on at Cripes Inc., which tour starts.
So the tour starts this weekend in Westby. We've got a ton of fun shows on this tour, including Las Vegas, ladies and gents, but... right after Vegas, we go to Wichita, Kansas City, Springfield, Evansville. It's going to be fun. Check it out. We've got them listed at cripescast.com, and we're probably coming to a state near you. We're going across the country. So there
you go. Yeah, you got stuff all across the Midwest and across the country. People have been messaging in about all the places we're going to go. So if you have any suggestions, send them our way.
Yeah. Let us know if there's a city that is not on our list that we should go to.
Yeah. Are you excited to get back out on the road?
Yeah, I am. That pregnant pause was because I was drinking some water out of this here kosher dill pickle spears jar.
Oh, I like how it says Best Buy 627, so that water's bad.
Actually, it's new water, old jar.
I know.
New water, old jar. That's a good, that'd be a good, it'd be a terrible name for a band.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, we have so many cups that like we have down there, but I love that you take the pickle jar.
Pickle jars make the best cups. They do because they're wide. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to tip a pickle jar.
Mm.
From a water standpoint, some water glasses are too thin. They have too thin of a base. A pickle jar is a nice sturdy situation.
It's nice and low.
I mean, and it feels good in the hand, you know?
It reminds me of the advice my dad would give me when I would play basketball, when I'd box out. He's like, get low and wide. Nobody can tip you over.
That's what a pickle jar is doing. A pickle jar is boxing out all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Speaking of boxing out, go to patreon.com/CharlieBehrens to see me absolutely wipe the floor with Charlie in basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another Patreon plug. But anyway.
She barely won.
Okay. I think I gave you points.
If I'm not mistaken. You did, but we miscounted the points. So you didn't need to give me points. I had earned those.
Okay. Anyway, let's get to the fan questions.
Okay, fan questions.
Okay, so from Almquist 390, if you could be any bird, which would you be?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I would be a red-breasted merganser. Now, red-breasted merganser is one of my favorite birds. Okay, I'll tell you that much. They are a seasonal duck variety. They got a cool mohawk. They've got a great, very fun courtship dance. You know,
what is it? You want to give us a taste?
Well, I think basically what happens, and I think I've demonstrated this before on various things, but you have one female. And then you have five males, and the five males are constantly doing this dance to try and impress
her. Dance.
The dance is beak up, ass up. That's the way they
feel
like
free to get up and show the
do it.
Feel free.
I'm not gonna. It's like. I mean, and you got to find the actual footage because the way I just did wasn't very graceful or beautiful.
You
the way
get
they do
any
it,
female mergansers with that one.
But then the female, and this is what I like about the mergansers: the female chooses the male, and here's how she chooses the male. She takes that razor sharp beak, and she jabs him right in the side and says, "Let's do this thing, bitch." You know,
nature's bumble.
It is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She gets to choose.
Yeah, it's nature's bumble with the mergansers. So that would definitely be one bird. The other thing I like about the mergansers is I like waterfowl because, and I have thought about which bird I'm going to come back to in this next life. I feel like I was a bird in a previous life too. Anyway, what I like about waterfowl is they get to experience both the sky and the sea, you know? And I think, yeah, I mean, they just have literally the best of both worlds. It is another world under there. Now, they do have dangers from both above and below.
Such as?
Well, you know, a muskie, I could see having little qualms about going after a baby red-breasted merganser. You know, muskrats, you know.
Muskrats ain't nothing.
Wolves.
I've killed a muskrat.
Yeah, well, you're not a bird.
Okay.
You know? Right. So you got to think about that. Muskrats have...
My beagle killed a muskrat.
Yeah. A beagle is also not a bird. They have these sharp teeth. You know, a bird is a little bit... It's low on the defenses side. Mm. Its defenses are flight. You know, a bird's not going to fight much. But a merganser... mergansers
you
are...
You just said the sharp beak.
Like they do have a sharp beak that's more for fishing. You know, mergansers are more lovers. They're not fighters.
Is that why you resonate with...
I think so. I'm not... I know how to fight. You know, not well, but I know how to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I basically know enough to hurt the person who's trying to hurt me. And make them maybe regret not choosing me. Like maybe they should have chosen someone else. They're still going to win probably if they know how to fight like somewhat good.
Who would win in a fight, you or a merganser?
I would never fight a merganser.
Who would win in a fight, you or a flock of 10 mergansers?
Well, they would just fly away together.
But like if they were attacking you?
I would welcome an attack from 10 mergansers. I feel as though like they would initiate me into their thing and then I would become merganser man. Red breasted merganser man. It would just be me with two red breasts, you know?
All right. You ready for your next question?
Yes, I am.
Okay. From John James. How do I survive my first Wisconsin winter? I'm from Southern California.
Oh no. Southern California coming up to Wisconsin for the first time. Well, I would say now is actually a good time to go buy a big coat. You need a big coat. And you might be able to get a good price on one because, you know, they're not as in demand. So I would say right now, go find yourself. And I would say the biggest coat you find, get a bigger one. I know it's an El Nino year. It may possibly be a warmer winter, but also weirder things have happened. And so I would get yourself a nice big coat. And then really, I think the next part is driving and,
what do you keep in your car for like in the event that you've spent out?
Yeah. So that's a good point. I think come November, snow comes a little later, but come November, December, what you want to do is get yourself, some salt for the salt deal in the basement, you know, the water softener. Get yourself some water softener salt or bags of sand. Put them in your trunk or the bed of your pickup truck. It'll kind of weigh it down, give you some extra traction. Also, I would get a shovel in the back of your truck. I would get an ice scraper. Get two ice scrapers, you know, one for the snow. They break off and sometimes you hit a deer and, you know, you really want to get in the grill, you know, and, you know, sometimes that deer's quite not yet a goner. So you got to use. I'm kidding. Do not do that. But yeah, I would get all those things in your, and then, yeah, you probably want to toss a blanket in there just in case you get stuck and, you know, you're in the middle of something, keep warm. And then, yeah, I think that, so start driving. And if he's in Southern California now, he can actually start practicing driving on the snow by going to the beach and driving on the sand. Mm. It's a little different, but if you get like sort of like a sandy, road by the beach, you know, mm-hmm. that has some similarities to snow, believe it or not. It's basically a loss of traction. And then also when you're driving on sand, that's kind of like thick snow. So it's kind of, you got to get on there and get the tires moving and everything. And then when he gets stuck in the sand, because you probably will, then you can practice getting yourself some boards, putting them under your tires, and you can get yourself free in there. Now, that's only if he's got a lot of time on his hands. You know, I usually wouldn't recommend someone intentionally getting stuck in the deal there. But yeah, that's
sounds a like a lot of good advice.
Mm-hmm. The other thing he's got to start preparing for is how long the goodbyes are. They take forever, and how to get out of a Midwest goodbye. You know, we've gone into extensive discussion of that on in the stand-up special and mm-hmm. various videos. So that's good. But the bottom line is just start saying goodbye 4 hours before you want to leave.
To go off of the coat thing, you want to also make sure that your insides are warm as well. So probably wouldn't be bad to stock up your booze.
Yeah, he's going to just have to start acquiring a taste for brandy, yeah. you know, and some people, they have a hard time with that. Brandy is some would say an acquired taste. I find it to be great. But start, you know, asking for brandy old fashions. Maybe just start off with a bourbon old fashioned, if that's like what he's accustomed to, and then slowly graduate into the brandy. And then mm-hmm. soon enough, his blood will like thicken, you know, kind of like a dog being left out in the winter. You know, they build up their winter coat.
It's like hibernation.
Yeah, he'll build up his Wisconsin coat.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Okay, so Chris Van Wagner, what is the hardest thing you ever had to tell a priest in confession when you were a kid?
What was the hardest thing I had to tell a priest in confession when I was a kid? Oh man, I don't know. I lied.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever.
Then what was your go-to to like kind of?
It's not confess. It's not that I lied, but I was like, how am I supposed to remember everything I did wrong? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I lied. I don't know. I always said swearing. I said I lied to my parents. I said, you know, I wasn't nice to my brothers or sisters. Da, 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 da. That was it. And I mean, that's really it. I don't think I even did that much. Well, I did confess. Yeah, never mind. I used to, outside the Adoration Chapel at this church I went to, me and my buddy, whatever it was about Adoration, which is kind of this little chapel that someone's always praying in 24 hours a day or whatever, but they smoke a lot of cigarettes and they put them out like outside the church. Me and my buddy, we go pick up some of them cigarettes with a little bit of game left to play. And we took them out to the woods and finished them.
And you admitted that during confession?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure did. He can't tell anyone. He's a priest. And you know?
What did he say? What was your like?
He said, it's not good for you. I was like, I know, you know, but.
Did you keep doing it?
Yeah.
Glad.
I'm glad
you're learning from it. I don't think you're grasping the concept of confession.
Well, it takes a while. You know, that was when I was young. That was when I was fourth grade, maybe something like that.
Wow. That early you were doing that?
Doing what?
Smoking?
Well, it was only like little parts of cigarettes. You know, we didn't start taking that tobacco and rolling it into a new cigarette until much later on.
Like fifth grade, sixth grade.
Something like that. you just do stupid things as a kid. I never really got into smoking much, but you just try things.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I did as a kid, but I was kind of an angel, so.
Yeah, you give me that goody two-shoes vibe.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What was your, like, toy of choice as a kid?
Toy of choice. I had a dinosaur collection, little fake plastic dinosaurs. I had a gemstone collection. I was into rocks before all these hippie gals were into them. What else did I have? I made a lot of my toys. I had a belt and a Pringles can, and I cut holes in the Pringles can, made it like a sheath, you know, for my sword. Knocked out the bottom of that. I was an accessory guy, you know, but I liked knives and I liked,
Yeah, I like that kind of stuff. But beyond that, toy dinosaurs, I wanted to be an archaeologist because I saw Jurassic Park and I thought those paleontologists were archaeologists.
Yeah.
So for a while, I wanted to be an archaeologist. But really what I wanted to be was a paleontologist. I wanted to look at dinosaurs. I wanted to find a cool dinosaur shark tooth, you know?
Okay.
I forget the name of that dinosaur. I'm going to look it up. I think it's a dinosaur shark. Ichthyosaur? No, that's the alligator.
All of this is just like... Way
people are curious. People are
over
curious.
My head. No. I'm not saying it's not interesting. It's just over my head.
No. You can latch onto that. It was the Cretoxythrina. No. Okay. Stacanthus edsted. None of these names I know. Helicoprion. Megalodon.
I know the name.
That's a T-Rex. Anyways, a prehistoric shark. I want one of their teeth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Maureen Levine, sorry if I say your name wrong. She asks, I've been meaning to ask you for some time. Do futzing and putzing around mean the same thing? And if not, would you please explain the difference and use an example of each?
Yeah, futzing and putzing. You know, really what futzing is a mix of and putzing. So it's like quit futzing around, you know?
So it's an escalated version of putzing.
Yeah, and putz, I believe, comes from, it's a Jewish term. And we'd have to ask my buddy Andy Rafi.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like you're a putz, like a schmuck. Yep. I think, and perhaps I'm wrong about that, but I think Rafi and I were, I was having a beer. He doesn't drink much, but or at all. And he was telling me about it after a show one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask him and get back to the fans on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cam 111294 says, we all love that you do such a great job making everyone aware in a super funny way of all the things everyone loves about Wisconsin. But what are the top five things you love personally about growing up here and living here?
Oh, I think that's a good question. I really love, first of all, the outdoors element of it, being outside. I think that's sort of the best connection, you know, that we get with, you know, whatever God you believe in. It made all the rest of it, you know. So I think that I would say definitely outdoors. You know, learning how to fish and getting in that habit as a kid. You know, I'm super thankful for that. I think that has a lot to do with my family. And then, you know, Wisconsin having access to all these lakes. I think the other thing would be just that idea of things not ever being perfect. You know, there's so much. I grew up with, you know, obviously a lot of siblings and, you know, from a family that didn't really value perfection, you know, because, you know, when you get a bunch of kids, everything's broken or something wrong or whatever, but you can still make do. You can still make it work. And we didn't have, you know, my dad came from like a pretty blue collar background and kind of we kind of grew up with that sort of mentality of like, you know, if it's broken, fix it kind of a thing, or learn to fix it. And just cause you don't have the best thing, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Like things don't, like, I remember one time I was growing up and I was like, oh, dad, so-and-so's got a good car. Isn't that cool? He goes, car is a stupid thing to think of. Something like that. He's like, or I was like, dad, if you had the money, would you buy that? He's like, I do have the money. I think it's dumb, you know, or some, I forget what he said,
yeah.
But basically it was like, and then that sort of, tricked the thing in my brain where I think I think some people are, you know, certainly, friends of mine in, Los Angeles say, I think maybe grew up with a more, focus on material items and that those say something about you. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing about maybe Wisconsin Midwest, know, my family, yeah. Midwest, is that there's this line in Fight Club, you're not your
Dockers, you know? So, and I think that there's something about that, that I appreciate about the Midwest is you can wear whatever to whatever and be fine.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not too precious, or it's like material items. Maybe I feel like there's still materialistic people in the Midwest.
Oh, there's
but
everywhere.
I would say like, I get what you're saying. The material value of things. I remember like saying that to my mom too, growing up, just being like, oh, this person's like, there's like the rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, their house is so nice. And my mom's just like, do you like going out on the boat? Do you like going on X amount of trips a year? She's like, it's all about what you want to do. And she's like, you just like, just because you look at someone's house in a specific neighborhood, she's like, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And she's like, they could do that, but like, look at what they're doing day in and day out. What are they deciding to spend their money on? What are they valuing? And she's like, I'd rather spend money on doing things with my family and XYZ, kind of similar to what your dad was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You yeah. know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and all those things always get old, you know, even when your friends buy like a nice big house or something. Mm-hmm. Well, in 5 years, everything in that house is all of a sudden outdated. So now right. you got it. Now you got yourself a big problem on your hands.
Yeah.
That's why I like, you know,
super outdated houses that will come back into style.
That's it. You got to get them on. You know, and I tell everyone that that kitchen is made of recycled ocean trash, you know, and it ups the value of my kitchen, you know, because it is technically like if I were to throw all that stuff out, most likely a lot of that stuff would end up in the ocean.
Yeah.
Just statistically speaking. So I'm just cutting out the middleman.
You have an upcycled kitchen.
I have an upcycled kitchen made of recycled ocean trash. I'm just I'm cutting out the point of where it has to go in the ocean in order to be recycled ocean trash. You know,
look at you. You're so on the forefront of.
Yeah, it's just how you reframe things.
Gordy Messersmith asks, do you really love the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How are you feeling about this year?
Great.
And you used to what? Sorry, I cut you off.
I used to cry when they lost when I was a kid. Like that's so ingrained in me. Very deep. Very, very deep.
Nice.
Like if they lost, I would go outside and like I would find it, my tree and go cry under it.
I wish we had like footage of that. That'd be amazing.
Oh my God. I'm so happy there weren't cameras really around when I was a kid since I'm old. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Okay. So those are the questions that I got on Instagram. I also have some supporter questions that we didn't answer last
week.
Do you want to go through that?
Let's do some of those.
Okay. Ryan Bolan asks, when you tour outside of the Midwest, where do you find the largest turnout for Wisconsin natives? Like where, maybe like where's a pocket that you're surprised that like you've.
Yeah. Well, the first time we toured out of the Midwest was Nashville because I was Googling my name as you do folks. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that came up was Nashville. So I was like, oh, I wonder if people think I'm playing there or whatever. And then we booked a show and that went. But I think Nashville's got a great pocket of Midwest people. Also Florida. I don't think, you know, Florida and Arizona people get like, okay, snowbirds, but Nashville has a nice pocket of them. Alaska also, a lot of Midwesterners out there, a lot of Wisconsinites specifically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tink Kubant asks, when you were on tour last year, what was your favorite city and why?
Oh boy. God, that's a really interesting question. I'm trying to think back. You know, we had a lot of fun in Dubuque. We kind of went out after that show and had a good time. And I remember Dubuque being fun for whatever reason. It's popping into my head. So many of the shows were fun though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like you like to go, cause like in Bemidji, you went and did a hike.
Yeah, Bemidji, I went and I did, I hiked the National. That was another cool one, Bemidji. I hadn't been up there. I went up there in winter. It was beautiful. It had just snowed out and did that state park thing and, you know, found a perch in the middle of the path that this eagle had dropped, you know, like in the perch still warm, you know, mm-hmm. and so, you know, it was a fresh one, probably mm-hmm. scared that eagle. You know, and so I looked at it and I left it there. I knew that eagle would be back. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. There's so many cool spots. It's tough to pick one.
Nice. Neo_Wizard says, what's your favorite vacation spot?
My favorite vacation spot, I will go with Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin. It's kind of where my family goes. It's right up by the UP on the border. We tend to go there every year. This was the first year that we hadn't gone there, though, in ever since I can remember. Mm. And it's kind of like summer's ending, and I'm almost in denial about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, isn't that crazy?
Why didn't you guys go?
It was just too freaking complicated. The place that we usually rent, they got bought up. And, you know, no one in my family's got the dough for, you know, our own spot. And it's just a pain in the ass to house everyone, yeah. You know. So, but I think we figure out next year, everyone's getting like a little spot somewhere, you know, and we'll go from there. But, you know, it's kind of this weird thing. Like, I think with summer, when kids are going back to school and they're like, summer's over. I'm like, summer's not over. It's only over if you're in school. I got more summer left. And now that it's almost Labor Day and people are like, oh no, summer's over. I'm like, nah, I got over that weeks ago when everyone went to school. Mm. You know, it's kind of like I want to avoid the emotional realization that summer's over.
Yeah. When is summer really over for you? Do you feel like?
When did it start?
Technically, it starts June 21st.
I mean, where does the time go?
I know.
Time is like a tennis ball under the couch. Where did it all go? That's me quoting a favorite line from a video that got no love. Yeah. Why do you think that video didn't get love? Therapist interviews dog.
Literally, I don't know, because my whole family that has dogs like loved it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I only heard good comments, but it didn't quite get the traction. Yeah, that know. Happens sometimes with videos.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy that this weekend is Labor Day. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's wild. Time just flies when you're having fun.
Just flies.
You're not having fun?
No, I'm having a good time.
Okay. Katie, J-E-D-I-P-M-1. Jedipum?
Sure.
What's the best time of year for birding?
Oh, God, that's a great question. I honestly think the best time is in spring. Not just birds and the bees, that stuff, but there's no leaves on the trees. It's just little buds. And that allows you to see through the branches. Mm. And that allows you to see a lot of birds. Also, you've got a lot of migratory birds coming. Those red-breasted and mergansers I mentioned before, they're around during the spring. And I just want to be a merganser man, you know? Like,
when did this podcast become a birding?
People love podcast. Birding, man. And if you don't love birding, get into it just a little bit. But no, spring is a very, very good time because you get new birds coming out, emerging, and also migratory patterns. You see some very unique birds, and your line of sight is very good given the lack of leaves.
Nice.
Yeah.
Marin 11 asks, I'm an only child here. What's your best childhood story?
My best childhood story, we were at the park in Fond du Lac fishing, and I was sitting there with a fishing pole, and I was cold. It was freezing, and I wanted to go in the car, but I didn't want to ask because I wanted to be like, you know,
tough,
yeah. And I was just sitting there just like jigging a pole, and I was like almost, my dad was fishing with my grandpa, was fishing with everyone, and I was like, I hate fishing, you know, and I felt like just as I was about to give up on fishing and never want to go again, boom. Hang on. Before I say boom, my dad looked over at me. He said, Charlie, what are you doing? I said, I'm just fishing. And he's like, you're never going to catch a fish that way. And I, cause it's true. I was literally just dropped my pole and I was just like, ugh, you know, and just kind of just jigging it, just kicking my pole or whatever. And then I said, no, I'm gonna do it. You know, I wanted to pretend like wasn't just doing that because I was bored, you know.
It's your new method.
Yeah, or whatever. Anyway, long story short,
boom.
As I was about to give up on fishing for life, boom. I got one. Yep.
Yeah.
Pulled it up. Pickerel. First pickerel I ever caught.
What is that?
It's like a northern pike, but a tad different. Okay. It's got a different name, but I think it's honestly, it's got a longer nose, I think.
Cool.
I actually don't know the difference between the, which I should.
Isn't that how fishing works, where it's like you're about to give up and then you get to something? That and gambling. You know, it's like you're about to give up and then you finally hit gold and then it's another 10,000 casts before you get
It's how a lot of things work in life.
You know,
it's like it's always darkest before dawn or whatever, you know. And you just got to hang in there a little bit longer, you know, and then bang, you get one.
Pop. You're very like onomatopoeia today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word for like when you...
I don't know, but I like the sound of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great story. Okay, Braden Page 38 asks, if you could live anywhere else, where would it be? We might have answered this already, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a good question. I like you know, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
I'm pretty sure that's what you answered before.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it up there.
Don't want to go anywhere else outside the Midwest.
I mean, I can go anywhere I want. Yeah, I've lived other places. From a climate change perspective, the Midwest is one of the best places you can go.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, a lot of access to fresh water, you know, in terms of the topography, you know, we got a little bit of the Driftless has some of them hills, which it's not a straight flat shot that the tornado alley. Now you still get tornadoes, but it's not a, you know.
Why did that scare? That sound effect really like scared.
I noticed you got startled there.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No, that was a little tornado coming off. Yeah, my
I don't
fingertips.
Know why. I really and we were like talking. I don't know why that scared me.
Yeah, you should talk to a therapist about that one.
I will. Buddy.Elena says, what should I do if my friend says bagel instead of bagel? Or how do you say it? And what should you do if they say it incorrectly?
You should just give them a bagel.
Do you call it bagel?
Bagel.
Bagel?
Bagel?
What do you call it?
I don't know. Now I'm thinking about bagel.
Bagel.
Bagel?
So what if they say bagel?
Well, I know what you're talking about.
What would you do if your friend says, hey, give me a bagel?
I'd give him a bagel.
You don't care. Whatever anybody calls it, you're not like prejudiced against the pronunciation of YA.
No, I don't think about it much.
Okay.
I don't think about it much. You know, in all honesty, I don't. Character-wise, even that, I don't know. It's just a goofy thing. Yeah, some people say bagel. Some people say bagel. I don't say bagel.
No, you say bagel.
Bagel.
Like a bag of bags.
Bagel. Win a bagel.
It's like whenever you say a word so many times that it loses its meaning. Bagel, 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 yeah. Bagel.
It's a goofy thing.
Katie Dioli asks what your favorite summer activity is, but I think we should go through all of the different seasons and you just name one of each season that's your favorite thing to do.
Okay.
So what's your favorite summer activity?
Spring, bird watching.
Okay, so I said what's your favorite summer activity? Or fine, you can start with six. What's your favorite spring activity?
Bird watching.
Summer.
Fishing.
Fall.
Fishing.
Winter.
Ice fishing.
You like fishing that much?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. We'll be right back. We're going to an ad break.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Bright sunshine this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 99. Southwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Lows around 69. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 97. Mid-90s Tuesday, turning much cooler Wednesday with highs in the upper 70s and showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 88.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Okay, I have other questions that I've come up with because we're through the fan questions.
Yeah, let's start. Okay,
so friend Mary Kill instead of FMK, or FMK in the nice way. Friend Mary Kill, ranch, beer, and brats.
Don't make me do this.
Why?
Don't make me do it.
Okay.
Don't make me choose.
Okay. The next one.
Why? How could you do that? How could you?
They make only me, get harder. I'm like.
How could you make me? All right. No, I mean, if, I can't do it.
Friend Mary Kill.
Kind of upset you would even ask.
You have to choose.
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you want to do round two?
No. Not if it's harder than that. What
friend,
is round two?
Mary Kill.
I don't know how round two could get harder than
biking,
that.
Birding, and comedy.
Nah, I can't do that either. Well, okay. What would I kill? I'd probably kill biking. As much as that would suck, but I feel like I can't do that forever. Birding. I would marry. And then comedy. No, birding, I would friend. Comedy, I would marry. I'm already married to comedy as it is.
Okay. The round three. Peaky Blinders, Sopranos, The Big Lebowski.
Kill Peaky Blinders, even though it's great. But Sopranos is the OG, married to it. That's the only series I've ever watched twice in my life. And then... Friend, The Big Lebowski. That's just a childhood movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought those were going to be harder.
Yeah.
The Ranch Beer Brats really...
Ranch Beer Brats, I just...
Shook you. You shook your boots.
Got me shook.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a good one. And
I didn't want to kill Ranch. I probably would have killed Ranch.
You heard it here first. Charlie Barron's Man of the Midwest kills Ranch.
Yeah. Well, when you put it next to beer and brats, yeah.
And then what would you, yeah.
I for sure, I would marry beer and friend.
Friend brats.
It's kind of, it loses its effect when you don't have the actual
Let's
F
do
word.
Fornicate.
Fornicate. You know what? We've already played this game.
Okay. What's a secret skill that you have that nobody knows, really knows about you?
I know how to roll pretzels, big pretzels.
Okay.
Don't say K, like that's not a skill. That's an absolute skill.
I feel like people know that about you.
Do they?
Maybe it's just because
I should do a video about rolling pretzels.
You should. You know what you should do?
A cooking show.
Go back. No. Go back to Mayfair.
Take an application out?
No. And work there for a day.
That's what I was saying.
You wouldn't even take an application out. We could like figure out a way to be like, Charlie used to work here. Would you mind if he rolled pretzels for an hour?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was talking, actually, one of the first shows that I was thinking about when I, or that I pitched, one of the first shows I pitched back when I was doing that was this show, First Jobs.
Yep.
Where, have I told you about this before?
But yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
Well, it's whereas,
I think it's a great idea.
You take a celebrity and they go work their first job and sort of hidden camera and you see if people notice and whatever, you just have fun with people.
Yeah.
Chaos ensues.
That's funny.
Like, I forget where Snoop Dogg was the example I used. I forget where his first job was, but it was like some, I don't know. But anyway, it's everyone had a first job.
Yeah. What if you went back and like picked dandelions?
For Shirley Grotti.
Yeah.
She's not with us anymore. Okay. Somewhere though.
Sorry.
No, but that house is still there and it probably still got dandelions.
If you could have dinner with one person dead or alive, who would it be?
I think it would be my great grandpa, Ray.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because it'd be cool to like talk about, what life was like back then.
Yeah.
And just like, it'd be cool to
like
have
Grandpa Bob's dad.
Yeah.
Cool.
It'd be cool to have dinner with him, but for just to him to be just some guy at the bar and me to be just some other guy,
Okay.
Because it would be cool to see, I don't know. It's just like a time capsule thing,
I mean, because the other thing you think about, like, let's say it would be like having dinner with, you know, like Richard Pryor or something. He doesn't want to talk to me, you know?
You never know.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah.
He'd be stealing his fries even though you order a salad. Well,
he probably won't be into it. He probably won't be into that. Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And then it's just awkward, you know?
Yeah.
And I got nothing to really mention that's going to add to that conversation. Yeah. It's all got to be about me.
Yeah.
So.
Mine would be Jesus, but to each their own.
I'll talk to Jesus one day. We'll get lunch when this thing's all said and done. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to burn my other one on Jesus.
You're so right.
Yeah.
What is the best piece of advice you've received and wish to share with everyone?
Best piece of advice I've ever received.
Could be about work, could be about life, could be about family, could be whatever.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I used to work for this guy. I don't know if this is the best piece, but this is a piece of advice that's coming to mind. There have been several things. Like my dad at one point said, every day say a prayer. God help me be a little bit better today than I was yesterday, you know? And, you know, where that's attainable. You know, it's not like I need all these freaking things answered in my life or whatever, you know, or this other. I used to work in this violin shop as like a shop hand. And
what?
Yeah, I used to work in a violin shop. Doing woodwork, like the cleaning stuff, doing like.
That's wild.
Really?
I did not know that about you.
I had 1,000 jobs. I was just one of them. But I would, you know, do minor construction things and like do some sweeping. Okay. I would do some like woodwork and like clean certain wood. And
okay. So you weren't like putting the strings on and making violins.
No, I did some guitar stuff, but that's a lot easier than violins.
That's so interesting.
But anyway, the guy who ran the shop, Steve Haas, was a very good friend of mine. He passed away since, but he always said that it's all about the process. And when you're making he was a bow maker. And when you're making a violin bow, it's the curvature of the bow is very important. There's many different parts, many different elements. It takes a lot of time. And it all starts with a straight edge. You know, it starts with like a 90 degree angle. You know, or a 90, a curve. Yeah. You can't have a curve without a 90 degree angle first. So you have to have patience. You can't just go right for the 90 degree angle. And it's about being addicted to the process. If you're just addicted to the curvature of the bow or whatever, and you just go right for that, you're never going to get it. And even if you do, it's going to be structurally unsound. It's not going to have the thing. So yeah, I think that's for anybody who's doing anything, who's not where they want to be today. That's not the way your thought process should be. It should be, am I addicted to this process? Do I love doing this thing? And I think the more you invest time figuring out if you love it and figuring out what you love about it and focusing on that, the happier you are going to be, in the process of creating what you love, and the more you won't miss parts of your life because you were too worried about being where you wanted to be. Because when you get to that place you wanted to be, it's not going to feel any different. And then a lot of times it's going to feel worse. So you just got to enjoy, you know, the place that you're at right now, you know, and that's the process. That's the real work. So, yeah. What's the next question?
Holy shit. You've gotten to travel a lot on tour. Where is some place that you wish to go someday? Either play or if you just want to travel somewhere.
Damn, I don't know. Anywhere I haven't been. I don't really care.
Where's work aside, where is some place that you wish to travel someday?
Antarctica, Beirut, Iceland. Morocco, Eritrea, to name a few.
Okay. This is a fun game that I play with my friends. Death Row Meal.
Korea.
Cool.
North Korea.
Okay.
I want to see what's going on in that place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Death Row Meal. Now, here's what you get to have. You get to have an appetizer, an entree, a side, a dessert, and a drink.
Okay.
Do you want me to start so you have some time?
Go ahead.
Okay. My appetizer is a little bowl of my Nona's meatballs.
Yeah.
Two works. Three.
Nice.
My entree is...
Those are good meatballs, by the way.
They're very good meatballs. My entree is a steak sandwich from this restaurant in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you about it a few times. I don't know if you remember that at all.
You say it again.
It's my favorite. It's like a filet mignon sandwich from, I think they're still in business, Zalo downtown in Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on this like, I literally have dreams about it. Best steak sandwich I've ever had. And it has like caramelized onions and this like horseradish. Oh, it's so good. And then side, scalloped potatoes or some sort of cheesy potato. Dessert would be cheesecake. And my drink would be an espresso martini.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like
that.
Okay.
What's your, you can go through the five things.
Oh, yeah. I would say I'm going to leave it up to the chef.
It's your death row meal and you get to order out because you're going to go to the chair tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd say some pickles.
For your appetizer?
Yeah. Some pickles, some peanut butter, grilled peanut butter and jelly. I'd do a coffee and I'd do some beer.
So I said appetizer, entree, side, dessert, and drink.
I listed them all. What is it? Coffee is dessert.
Coffee is dessert. Drink is beer.
Yeah. Grilled PB&J for the entree. Peanut butter for the thing and pickles. Oh, I forgot cheese. Maybe like some cheese curds for the
side.
Yeah. I forgot fish. There should be walleye in there somewhere. I don't like this game.
That's like the wildest answer I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's a weird question.
Okay.
I don't know what you're gonna expect from me, but definitely peanut butter and grilled peanut butter and jelly.
I went so that you could think about it, and that's what you came up with.
Yeah, that is absolutely what I came up with.
Okay, so this is the hour we like to call Charlie's favorite things.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Rapid fire. And it's just like...
These are a few of my favorite things.
Exactly. Favorite color?
Blue.
Book?
On the Road, Jack Kerouac, jeez. Actually, Hero with a Thousand Faces.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's a great book, you know, from storytelling. It's wonderful.
Do you want to tell me about the... Cosmogonic Cycle or whatever.
Cosmogonic Cycle. Everyone should know about it.
Yep.
It was interesting.
Favorite song.
Favorite song. Oh. What do you want from liquor store? Sorry You're Sick. Ted Hawkins.
Yep. Favorite musical artist.
Ted Hawkins.
Favorite car.
Favorite car. I've always liked the Corvette Stingray. A little Stingray of Corvette. Or the El Camino. Little sedan plus pickup truck. Let's go with that one. The El Camino.
Okay. Favorite fish to catch?
Walleye.
Favorite drink of choice?
So good when you got a walleye on the line. Tell you what. Drink of choice, brandy old fashioned.
Favorite Packers player?
Of all time? It's a very hard question. I'm going to go with Leroy Butler.
Favorite sports team?
Green Bay Packers.
I don't know if it was like if you really were a big baseball fan.
Oh, my gosh. Packers, but yeah. I mean, I love the Brewers. I love the Bucks, but you know, the Packers.
Favorite tailgate game to play?
Testicle toss.
Favorite tailgate food?
Brats.
Favorite order at a supper club?
Double old fashioned sour.
But also food. Like if you're going to a supper club, you're excited for...
I'm excited for the walleye fish fry.
Okay.
Get the coleslaw. Also the potato pancakes.
Growing up, were you a scooter kid or a bike kid?
I was a bike kid. I used to be a bicycle mechanic. And one time I put pegs on my little bike that I thought was cool. I thought it was cool because it's like a BMX bike. But then everyone made fun of me because it had coaster brakes.
And they all their bikes didn't because they were bastards.
Did you ever do the thing where you took like a card and you put it in the back
spokes
yes. so that you can make a thing?
Certainly okay. did. Yes, it was. Did you?
Yeah, my brother did. And we also had pegs on this one bike and it was in the front and the back. And it was like our favorite trick bike.
Yep.
And then my brother one time left it out on the yard. And because it like he would take, he had this phase where he would like put duct tape on everything or like tape that he would do for like a bat for like baseball.
Yeah.
And so because it looked like crap, he left it out in the front yard too close to the garbage. So the garbage took it away.
I could see
And it was our best bike. It was such a bummer.
That is a bummer. Still think about that bike.
It was a great bike. This is kind of unrelated. Was there any hairstyle or trending piece of clothing that you partook with growing up? And do we have any photo evidence of it?
I tried to get a bowl cut at one point in time. My mom gave it a go and I got made fun of for that because it also...
Do we have a photo of it?
Doubt it. You know, luckily my childhood, it didn't do a lot of photos.
My brother really liked frosted tips.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
And puka shells.
That's rough. That is really unfortunate.
Love you, Lauren. You're going to be a great dad. Anyway.
Yeah. God.
Anyway.
That's Smash Mouth fan.
Yeah. I don't know. He was a big... NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
I don't know.
You were in a...
I do not care. I don't even know the difference between them. You could play one of the songs unless it's the Backstreet Back song. I don't know the difference.
Do you want to play one?
No. No.
Hold on.
Backstreet. No? Okay.
Okay, that's all that we can end this.
Well, folks, Colleen, thank you very much for compiling all this. These were wonderful questions. Hopefully this was entertaining enough for all of you. Or if it wasn't, then that's fine. Then I won't have to do, have to deep dive into my soul ever again, which is a proud Midwest fella. I'm all for not doing that. Good outro, Charlie. All right. See you, folks.
Please follow us on all platforms at CripesCast across the board. Go to CripesCast.com for tickets, merch, everything that your heart desires. And anything else?
No, thank you. Thank you, everyone who's sent in questions. We appreciate you. And we'll see you on the road. See you on tour. Okay, real good. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you guys. Why do you keep saying that?
I just, you know why? Because Miles says it at the end of the Bellied Up.
Yeah.
And it kind of like.
Yeah.
It's weird.
No, it's not weird. You said it last time too. And it's a new thing that I've heard. All right.
I think that's where I got it. I think I literally stole that from Miles. You know what? I don't mean that. Fuck that. I won't even say it. That's fine.
Okay.
And don't love you guys.
Okay.
Folks, that's all the time we have for now. Thank you so much for listening. Everybody keep her moving. Make sure you keep your eyes peeled out there. Do watch out for them deer. We're getting close to fall when, you know, they get like all hot and bothered and they start running around all with their willy-nilly. All right. See you next week, folks.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you
get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rep